Part 2, Chapter 7, in which Mahogany has a dream. Quote, "What oaths, what shrines can minister to a mind diseased?" Virgil, the Aeneid, Book 4, lines 107-8. Eventually, Laura and Harvey reached Mahogany. He had not moved in 5 hours and was horribly sunburned. Laura suggested they take him back to Vasiki and tend to him there. And when they arrived at the hotel, she went to find some aloe vera. In the meantime, Harvey took his friend to their room, then went to the terrace to get a drink. As soon as he was alone, Mahogany became delirious. His mind ran circles through circles and spun him down to the edge of a dream. Then he heard a knock at the door. "Who is it?" he asked. "Mahogany, is that you?" said a voice. Mahogany opened the door. "Lisa!" he exclaimed. "What are you doing here?" "I missed you," she said. "Oh," said Mahogany. "You haven't aged in 20 years," she said. Mahogany was stunned. It was his ex-fiancée from San Diego. She was just as he remembered. "I saw you in the port at Levkas," she said, "and decided to follow. I wasn't sure you'd want to see me. It's been so long." "Very long," said Mahogany, putting on a shirt and walking to the terrace. Footnote. The following scene, so marvelously written, could only have been plagiarized. This editor has found traces of Ernest Hemingway's Across the River and Into the Trees, Archibald MacLeish's The Happy Marriage, and Joseph Conrad's The Heart of Darkness, and also a personal letter from Cindy Zecchi. "I missed you," she repeated. "I missed your sense of adventure, your search for romance, your appreciation of beauty and absurdity. I should never have left. I was so stupid. I couldn't see I was marrying Robert for his money. But when the sanitarium burned down, we had nothing. I have lived with that mistake every minute for 20 years. They were walking now between the eucalyptus, stepping on generations of broken, rigid leaves that produced an unoriginal but appealing texture. Footnote. The word eucalyptus comes from the Greek meaning well hidden. Mr. Roland Twelve's doctoral thesis was entitled "Eucalyptus, Eucalyptus, Eucalyptus." Back to the text. Mahogany was trying to remember what he had felt for Lisa. "I heard you crossed the Atlantic," she said with excitement. "That must have been something." "It was a poor effort," said Mahogany, "but it was my own." "You gave up everything," said Lisa, "even the work you loved." "The work?" he said. "No man loves his work. What he loves is what's in the work, the chance to find himself, what no one else can know. Others can only see the surface. They can't tell what it means." When they reached the end of the boardwalk, they turned up a path, and their shadows trailed on the grass. "What have you been doing?" she asked. "Nothing," he said. "Just traveling." "Do you ever think of La Jolla?" she asked. "Do you remember the jam sessions at the Crab Catcher, and the night we saw Hubert Laws?" "I remember," he said. "You don't sound very excited." "I'm not," he said. "I don't understand," she said. "Don't you want to make a life? Don't you want to stop going from place to place, always running away?" "Happiness," said Mahogany, "is a movable feast." "Oh, God," she said, "where did you hear that?" They came to a low stone wall that bordered the path and sat down. The wind was coming over the hill, and it blew Lisa's hair forward. The wind parted her hair behind and blew it forward about her cheeks. "Let's have some fun," she said. "Let's," he said, "with our one and only life." The sun disappeared, and the birds shrieked in the shadows. "Who do you see," she asked, "when you look out beyond my eyes? Is she someone I never was, or what I was, but will not be again?" Mahogany held her hand and felt the bones that threatened in her wrist. He, too, had used love's dream before. Love that hoped for nothing but the hope it is. "What are you looking for?" she asked. "Nothing," he said.
"Nothing?"
"Just peace," he said, "and sanity." After a moment of silence, she moved closer, and he turned to hold her. Then he moved away. "Aren't you going to touch me?" she asked. He rose to his feet. "What do you think it's like," she said, "I mean, for those people who are really in love?" "I don't know," said Mahogany. "I guess they have what they have, and they're luckier than most. Then one gets the emptiness forever." Just then a knock on the door startled Mahogany from his dream, and he awoke to the darkness of his room. "Who is it?" he asked.
"Sono Laura," she said.
"Che Harvey?"
"On the terrace," said Mahogany.
"Grazie." Harvey had been relaxing on the patio for quite some time, watching the setting sun and delighting in the breeze that lifted from the bay. From where he sat, he could see the promenade in front of the hotel and the people walking up and down the coast, and he could hear the whisper of the eucalyptus. It pleased him. It reminded him of his native California and the many days he had spent with the trees, imitating their gentle song. As the day waned, Harvey consumed one piña colada after another. In fact, he couldn't drink enough, for the waiter on duty had worked up an incredible thirst, and whenever he removed Harvey's empty glass, the captain assimilated his thirst and ordered another drink. By the time Laura arrived, our hero was a drunken shell of the man he might have been. "Arrgh," Harvey growled to himself, eyeing the curves that insisted beneath Laura's robe. "In the shivers of her clothes are stories of yearning and desire." "Nella chiesa coi santi, ed in taverna coi ghiottoni," she said with a laugh, smelling the liquor on his breath. Translation: "In the church with the saints, and in the tavern with the drunks." Along with the lotion Laura brought for Mahogany, she had found a copy of the Michelin Guide to Greece, and she showed the captain a small island where she owned a villa. When Harvey moved closer to see the map, her cheek brushed his ear, and he turned and kissed her. "Oh," she said, and "Oh." Then she closed the book, and that night they read no further.